Welcome to another interesting, and that's a terrible start. God. Smash a cookie and it'd be more fun.
All right, let's just get this going.
All right, welcome back to ContraCast. This is episode number 12, and tonight it's just me and Mike here because we can't get a hold of Steven. Lee's doing something else, Will's doing something else, and John's doing something else. So all of our seconds and alternates are busy. But that's all right. It's going to be a short show tonight, hopefully. No, it will be. And I hope you guys enjoy it. So to start us off, Mike, how about you tell us what you've done this last week and how people can get in touch with you?
This last week, just went home for Labor Day weekend. I came back actually yesterday night. Hadn't been feeling too good. Have woken up with a sore throat like twice. Been sleeping better. I used to have, it's ridiculous. I have like back problems and I'm 20. When I wake up, my back hurts, but now it's just my throat. But anyway, you can get in contact with me through Twitter at twitter.com/Michael Pulaski or Mike Pulaski. You can get in contact with me through Facebook at facebook.com/M Pulaski. And back to you, Paul.
Okay, hey, can you hear this fan, my power box?
A little bit. Not too bad.
If it's not distracting, I'll just leave it on. It's cooling my computer.
Yeah. I don't think it's too bad.
So, as I said before, my name is Paul Kwiatkowski. I have been busy this last week. Second full week of classes, I suppose. You know, I've got a three to five page paper that I have to write and submit in the next 44 hours. So that's going to be lots and lots of fun. I went back this weekend to home and I worked at Ross for what felt like every minute of every day. And it's been murder. But anyway, you can get in touch with me on twitter.com/ContraPaul and facebook.com/Kwiatkowski. Also, basically everywhere on the internet under the name ContraPaul. However, I probably won't respond if you go somewhere like cardomain.com, ContraPaul. So this week, we have a couple things. We've got a new segment, which is going to go before news, called Link of the Week. We have a little bit of news, and then we got a few topics to talk about. So this week, our Link of the Week is an article on Gizmodo called Windows 7, The Complete Guide. And it is basically a book format guide to Windows 7. Basically, everything you're going to want to know about it, unless you're like, you know, a crazy hacker type. You know, it's more than enough for most of us, and it certainly is informative if you, you know, maybe haven't been keeping up with all the Zune news, or even if you have been, it's still got some cool stuff. I mean, I'm looking down, it's organized into 8 chapters and an intro. We got a review of Windows 7 here, the real cost of upgrading. My favorite section is Couch Tricks, new features for Windows Media Center. And I'm calling it my favorite section even though I have not looked at it because I like media. Mike, what do you think about this whole article?
I think it's great. I just, you know, I've seen it before. I haven't really, you know, looked at it. I've had Windows 7 for a while. I will definitely read lots of it, especially the device stage hardware fun plus more productivity tips. So I definitely like how they did this. They have it in chapters, and it seems very organized. I like how they dedicated a whole section to media player and its new formats that it supported. And then I like how they dedicated a section to the wireless management, because it just seems like Windows has failed on their wireless management, you know, systems for every single operating system except for this one. And it's just so easy to use. I just remember trying to use the other ones and it's just murder. But yeah, it seems like it's a very good guide, and you should definitely read it if you're using Windows 7 or plan on buying it.
Yeah, it's good. A couple things looking down here. It's funny. I've been using Windows 7 since May. I can't get this device stage stuff to work. You know, they say it's one of the coolest things ever, and it just, you know, you hook up your gadgets and it just has a cool little home page for them and stuff. Maybe it's just me, but my gadgets don't even show up like that. My Xbox 360 controller. It's just like a generic controller, even though it's not actually an Xbox and Microsoft one. My Wacom tablet doesn't show up as anything particular. But anyway, it's a good article, and you should read it. You know, it'll tell you more than you want to know about Windows 7, and that's that. Okay, so secondly, our news for tonight, Mike and his brother Steven got new phones, and we have a little bit of news about the Zune, and no news about the iPod. I was really hoping we would have some, you know, but in 2 days we're going to have our It's only rock and roll, but we like it, iPod event, and then we should have some good news for next week. Because honestly, next week, the show is going to come right before the launch of the Zune HD. And so, of course, you can guarantee that episode 14 is going to be the Zune isode. That's a pun you can get behind. So, Mike, how about you tell us about your new phone and what it is and what you like about it and whatnot?
New phone. I planned on getting the Rogue. Has not released yet. It releases tomorrow. Just saw videos for it. I'm not completely wowed by the Rogue, but this week I did get a new phone. I was tired of waiting, and the Rogue has the data plans that were coming out with it for, you know, 10 extra bucks a month, and my dad said, no, I'm not paying for that. So I went ahead and got the LG Envy Touch, which is what Paul has. He talked about it in one of the earlier podcasts. By far, this is the best phone I have ever owned, ever. The touchscreen is very responsive. I love how you can use your fingernails. So, like, if you accidentally, you know, miss a key because it's too small, you just use the tip of your fingernail and you'll get it every time. It takes great photos and really high resolution. I haven't really tested out the video that much, but I know it's very good, just as good as the 3GS. Funny thing that I heard from Paul was he says he never opens up the phone and sees the brilliant inside screen or uses the full keyboard on the inside, which I thought was kind of weird until I got it, and now I only use the front of the phone unless I'm in a car or something trying to be really accurate with typing, then I'll open it up and type. The inside screen is really clear and really nice. The phone overall, you know, operating system is just, I don't know, it's just great. I love how my texts are in form format. So, you know, I'm just looking at Paul and I click Paul and then it just shows all our conversation just between me and Paul rather than, you know, just showing a jumbled mess of everybody's conversations. I love the widgets or whatever, the shortcuts that you can just throw on your desktop. Desktop, acting like it's a computer. Like. Yeah, it does feel like a computer. Only thing I wish is I wasn't so cheap to where I could have the data plan and actually use, you know, test out the Twitter and Facebook apps on this. But overall, great phone.
Honestly, though, I think we're gonna forget about that in 8 days.
Oh yeah, I'm sure we will with the Zune HD coming out.
Truth is, yeah, we can't tweet on the road. But we can stop in a McDonald's, which is everywhere, and tweet, so it's not that big a deal. I'm glad you like it, yeah, because I certainly do like it. This is kind of funny. You know, I've talked before about having my tweets retweeted by just like a bot or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It happened again.
Oh, really?
This guy retweeted my post about World War II. Today is the 70th anniversary of the start of World War II. September 1, 1939, the Deutsch took a huge blitzkrieg on the Poles.
Well, you may be having trouble with that, but I'm having trouble with, I keep getting more and more followers, but, you know, they're all people who work for companies or something that post porn.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if you got my...
Those. I don't care because... I want people to come to my page and be like, oh, look at him. He's got 50 followers. He must be someone worth following.
You know? I know how you feel, but, like, I don't want to see that, you know, I don't want someone to see that, you know, porn things are following me. But funny story, I don't know if you got one of my tweets. I'm trying to find where it is, but I said, yet another string of porn spammers follows me on Twitter, GTFO, and then I posted the thing about that funny onion link. But I think after I mentioned the word porn just in my post, I got 4 more porn subscribers to follow me just for probably saying the word. And then I realized, I was like, oh, big mistake. They probably just searched porn on the Twitter.
That'd be an easy way to get followers, is if you just tweeted a couple times like one of those bots and just grabbed all 10 of the popular topics, and then you just type in a few words like that. You get like 500 followers, and then you just delete those tweets because they never happen. So, you know, a prospective boss checks out your page and like, oh, this guy got a lot of followers. Got some cred he could throw around. All right, so that's pretty funny. Oh, also, I just remembered this. I think we're going to do this in the coming weeks. I added John as a poster on my blog. He hasn't posted anything yet. But I'm gonna add Mike, and what we're gonna do is scan in, and if need be, I can enhance them with Photoshop. A ton of these old comics he drew in.
Oh, I don't have those with me though.
You can get them from home, but a ton of these old comics he drew a long time ago about Yomashita the Wandering Samurai.
they're just stick figures, but if you read it, it's so hilarious.
They're pretty funny. I mean, it's honestly, we have enough material to have a full blown webcomic for like a couple of months. So it's worth doing. Anyway, the last thing we've got is a few pieces of news on the Zune. There's nothing earth-shattering. We've got September 15th. Obviously, that's when the Zune HD comes out. We now have confirmed that new software is coming for the computer, and we should be getting new firmware for our other Zunes, which is nice. I remember back in like December or November, they released an update to the 3.0 software. I think it's 3.1 that's on our Zunes now. And I really thought they'd release more. That was when they put all 5 games on the Zune and everything. And I expected a whole lot more because that was their big push during the last holiday, is look at the new software we've got. And we haven't got anything for 8 months. And so this is our big firmware jump. You know, it should present an even more polished look for all the previous generation Zunes. And
I just want to see apps in there.
Yeah. Well, see, I'd be interested too. I don't know exactly what the deal is going to be with the old Zunes and apps. Because it'd certainly be nice if there were a few apps you could use on your previous generation Zunes, you know.
I mean, they might add it to the community or whatever they're calling it, but I don't think you'd be able to add apps if you had an old generation Zune, but I think it should... You know, you can only use the features that come with the Zune, for the new software.
Is that you've already got the 5 games on the old Zune that came with it. But then if you go to like zuneboards.com, which is where you're pulling our information off of, there's easily 200 applications and games that you can download for your current generation Zune. So, I mean, I've got about 15 or 20 on there. There's not, I mean, of that, there's probably 30 that are pretty high quality and 15 that you want to have on there for more than a day or so. But the community has already developed wireless games that you play with other people. They've developed instant messaging apps. Someone's even put the Bible on the Zune. King James format, though, so it's worthless to me. Worthless! anyway, so that's that. As of now, the current generation lineup of Zunes has been discontinued. So this is all the flash-based ones and the 120-gig hard drive player. You know, there's just been a little bit of talk about this as to why they're doing this now, and really, it's just because they don't want people going to Walmart, you know, in 2 weeks and saying, well, here's $220 for a 16-gigabyte Zune, and maybe they're uneducated about this sort of thing, so they don't know what all comes with it, and then they see one right next to it that's like $230 or even $220. I don't even know what it sells for now. For a 120-gigabyte hard drive Zune, and they think, well, 120 is a lot bigger than 16. So that's basically why I would assume they're doing this. I mean, do you think that's the truth, Mike? That and the thing about the flash-based ones is that they've actually got, as far as I know, I think it's an 8, 16, and 32 are the sizes for flash. So that makes tons of sense that they're getting rid of those because, again, you don't want to have a 16-gigabyte Zune selling next to a 16-gigabyte Touch Zune, you know, because, again, an uneducated customer is going to be like, oh, well, this one has the same amount of storage, and, yeah, it doesn't have a glossy LED screen, OLED screen, but I think that, you know, whoever is going to like this more.
I think that's probably one of the reasons. I'm sure they have many, but one of the reasons I would think of is they're trying to compete with iPod Touch, and now, you know, iPod's discontinuing all their iPods, so they're kind of following suit and saying, you know, like, people aren't comparing iPod Touch, you know, like 30 gig or whatever with a Zune. They're like, oh, but the Zune doesn't have touch, you know. They just want to see two touch screen, you know, media
now,
players.
It also says to me that going forward, they want the Zune to be known by the Touch Zune. You know, in the same way that iPod, going forward, they want the iTouch and they want the Nano. The Classic is finding less and less of a place. You know, pretty soon we're going to have, you know, 128, 256 gigabyte flash players instead of, which is, you know, the Zune HD or whatever, instead of our hard drive players that we've had for so long. And it's just the way things are going. So the last bit of news is that the Zune HD guide was leaked. And what this is basically is, it's just a picture.
It's the pamphlet that comes with the Zune when you buy it.
It's a pamphlet that'll be in the store or something that shows you what they do and don't have. So what we can see here a few things. I mean, they have wireless 802.11b or G compatible, which is nice. You know, they come in two different colors at launch. We got our music up to 33 hours wireless off, video up to 8.5 hours, charge time 3 hours when connected to PC, 2 hours with AC adapter, 16:9 aspect ratio. Just some good stuff here. I mean, it's stuff we probably already could have figured out or known, but here's some extra stuff, too. We've got MP3 up to 320K per second audio, which is good, which is very close to CD quality. But we've got Windows Media lossless 768. So if you're a complete audio nut, you can actually play, like, record quality music on here. anyway, and we've also got H.264, which is really cool. That's a high def format. I think I have Pulp Fiction in that format, so I'm pretty psyched. So this means that as soon as I get my Zune, if I want, I can load up Pulp Fiction on there. No editing or anything, because I think it's in 720p. So good to go there. All right, that's all for the news segment. And then for our topics. Tonight, we're going to talk about Windows Live software packages and what they got online, and just some general thoughts about the cloud and what that is exactly. Our first five sites we go to when we open the internet, and some thoughts about the death or demise of forums. So to start us off, let me introduce what I want to talk about Windows Live and the cloud for. If you're like me, you know what the cloud is, and if you're not, you might not have heard about it or whatever. The cloud is basically a name for the internet, and it's derived because network diagrams display the internet as just a jumbled mess, which looks an awful lot like a cloud. And so cloud computing is coming of age now, and what that is just doing things you used to do on the desktop on the internet. Editing photos, typing out paper stuff, you know, storing your files, all sorts of other things online. That is all called cloud computing. And Windows has dove headlong into this with their Windows Live software suite and online software suite. And the reason I know about this is I edited a video earlier this week, just showing off my room, and I had to go get the Windows Live Movie Maker because Windows Movie Maker is not included with Windows 7, which I think is kind of a shame. I miss it. But I was able to get it back through Windows Live Movie Maker. And that's part of the Windows Live software suite. When I downloaded that, I also got Windows Live Writer, which is a cool desktop app that allows me to write articles on my desktop and upload them to my blog. It pulled the font and color scheme and everything off of my blog, and I've updated every article this week from Windows Live Writer. So it's been good. I mean, I was kind of surprised at how robust the program list was from Windows Live for free, really. You just have to have a Windows Live account. And I'm sure, for some reason, I get by without remembering mine. But I don't know. Mike, what are your experiences with cloud computing, and are you going to go and get any of this Windows Live software stuff?
I don't really have a blog or anything. I've recently heard of the cloud. I'm sure I've heard of it in like a Cisco networking class. It makes sense. That people would call cloud, the internet cloud computing. It seems like we're moving towards that age to where everything's edited online. You know, people don't edit photos on their desktop anymore. They edit them on, you know, Photo Bucket or something. And then, you know, so they don't have to upload them. As far as downloading anything to directly feed something to the internet, I don't think I'd be using anything like that really anytime soon. I don't do much video editing or anything like that.
Yeah.
It seems like we're definitely moving towards that era, though.
Well, I'm on Windows Live's website, download.live.com, and here's the list of programs you can get for free that lets you do stuff online and offline. You've got Messenger, which replaces the old MSN Messenger that I guess three people used at one time. It just makes me think of that Onion video, "Add me to your MSN, Mr. President! Add me to your MSN!" It's got a mail suite, which I guess is nice for some people. I've been using Mozilla Thunderbird, and that's been working pretty well, and I also use online mail. Photo Gallery, and this is another one. This is like something my sister would use. She uses Picasa now. If you are someone who takes a lot of pictures, I guess, and wants to modify things fast and name them fast, this kind of thing is good for you. If you're like me and I take a picture and I want to do something that you can't do in one of these programs, I'm like, well, why would you want that when you can use Photoshop? But there's Photo Gallery, there's Movie Maker, which is just, it's, I'd like to say lightweight, but that would be a lie because Movie Maker is notoriously bad at managing memory. It's got Writer, which is really cool. Web browsing, it has a toolbar, and that's something you never want. And it also has a family safety thing, so if you want to make sure that half the internet is blocked, you can do that so easily. It also has a couple things. It wants you to download Microsoft Silverlight, and I don't know, a few other things. Let me go ahead and respond to this crazy guy named Lee Elmore who wants to be invited to the call. Lee, welcome to the show.
I don't think he's answered yet, Paul.
There it goes. Lee, welcome to the show.
What's up, guys?
Not much. We're discussing Windows Live and the cloud.
Windows Live and the cloud.
Indeed. We're doing that. And it's going well. Let me go ahead and get you the show notes there so you can see where we're at. But essentially, you know, looking down this list of stuff, it's not, I mean, like, not, you know, programs that you absolutely have to have. Mm-hmm. Half of this stuff, Messenger, Toolbar, Family Safety, those are things that, you know, you probably won't even ever use. Not many people use AIM or anything like that anymore, and a lot of it's got to do with Facebook chat and whatnot. But, you know, I know very few people that boot up their computer, and part of their boot up process is opening, like, AIM or a chat client. Now I guess you could say Skype is a chat client, you know, because mm-hmm. we do chat, but, you know, it's also a voice client. It's a VoIP, so, I don't know, it's not quite the same thing. Mike, anything you want to add to that before we move on?
Nothing really to add.
Okay. Lee, what we're going to do now is list your first five websites when you open the internet, the first five you go to, and we'll let you go last because we've already got ours in mind.
I got mine.
All right, good times. But Mike, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, sure. Upon boot up, I usually click on Facebook, then Twitter, and Gizmodo for the news, and after that, it's depending on usually what I'm doing. If it's schoolwork, I'll boot up my school program or website to access everything called 49er Express. If I'm just chilling and want to, you know, maybe read some manga, I'll do one manga and my email. And yeah, that's usually about it. Unless I'm torrenting something, then I'll go to torrent. So probably Facebook, Twitter, Gizmodo, one manga and email. And if I'm really bored, Instructables.
All right. Lee, you want to go ahead and list yours?
Yeah, I pull it up. My homepage is Yahoo, and that's my email. I get on there and I check those. And then I'll usually pop over to Facebook, check my notifications and stuff, see what's going on with people, drop a status or something. And
I like
Twitter.
Drop a status.
Yeah, drop a status real quick.
I'll
hop on
the
Twitter.
Yeah, man, I dropped a status last
Yo, did I drop my status on him? He didn't even see it coming.
Man, the cops came up, made me drop my status.
These people just witnessed an inside joke in the making.
Yeah. I'm about to drop you like my status, fool.
I dropped 5 last night.
Yo, I dropped 10 statuses a day. Don't even see me.
And I know I'm going to see like 20 tweets like that tomorrow.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm going to be in class. I'm going to be like, oh, drop a status, fool. All right. So, that was three. I think you said Twitter, right?
Yeah, Twitter third. And then, I don't know. It depends on what I'm doing after that. Sometimes I'll go on the WoW community side if anything's going on, if there's, like, updates or patch or anything. But I'll go on maybe, like, if I feel like playing guitar, I'll go on and look up a new song on the Ultimate Guitar tabs. Maybe chat on there with somebody. And it's also got, like, a pretty big music community on there, so like sometimes I'll like listen and sample other artists and like hear new stuff never heard before. And then if I feel like getting some movies or something going on, illegally pirate albums and movies off of the internet. Yeah, that's about it.
Well, mine my homepage is the blog contrapol.blogspot.com. The reason I do that is not because I just love looking at that website so much. It's because I'll never write in it if I don't have it as my homepage.
Yeah.
I've tried in the past, and I forget it for months at a time. So that's the thing. But from left to right, I have my quick launch buttons, you know, in Firefox customized. So I just open Facebook, Twitter, Gizmodo, Gmail, and usually Lifehacker next. I skip over Kotaku.com. As great as it is, getting my video game news is like a once a day kind of thing, not all the time. you know, once in a while I open my Charlotte Mail, I mean like once a day kind of thing, GDGT once a day. But those are the big five. You know, Facebook's pretty obvious. I know Facebook is funny because we keep on bringing it up, and I know we bashed it to hell in the first episode. of the show, but the truth is that as much as we all hate it, you know, or maybe Lee doesn't so much, but as much as we hate it, we really need it today. I mean, it's, you know, as optional as you'd like to think Facebook is, it's not optional.
It's really not.
Speaking of bashing Facebook, Paul.
Okay.
I just got two notifications in one day from my uncle Tom,
cool guy,
that has invited me to join Mafia Wars.
Oh, nice. We should do that. We could do some bank heists together, like Reservoir Dog style. Yeah. So there's that, I guess. Anyway, Facebook, I mean, it's become something you have to have. And we talked last week about the site's businesses visit, you know, how a lot of people like to talk about Twitter, but still, like, of the sites that your prospective boss is going to check out, Twitter's, like, the least possible that they might check it. And it's simply because, you know, a lot of people have Twitter accounts, a handful of people tweet, and, like, a select few tweet a lot. You know, I mean, like, once a day at the very least. anyway, Gizmodo is pretty obvious. I mean, the kind of stuff, if you listen to this show, chances are, if you didn't go to Gizmodo before, you go there now. Great place for news. Gmail, over like the summer, I've been migrating, or you know, the last year or so, I've been migrating to Gmail, and moving to a new email is like, I would assume it's as tough or tougher than moving to a new place and getting a new phone number. It's just people have your old number.
Come on.
You'll have your own email.
You don't have to move all the furniture in your house. Come on.
I'm talking about your phone number. You know, because
right.
Tattoos your old address and everything. So, I mean, getting an email, I mean, it's hard because you can leave open your old ones too. When you get a new number, you're basically locked. You got to get a new number. You got to tell everyone about the new number, you know. Getting a new email is like, well, you know, go check this out. It's like my Google Voice number. I can't get anyone to use that. Not that they really need to, I guess. Anyway.
I don't even know what that is.
I'll give it to you later. You don't really need it, though, because you got my regular number. Our last topic, I think that's good enough for that topic. It's, you know, just a little thing we want to throw in there. I was kind of hoping, at the beginning of the show, Lee, I was like, everyone else we wanted for the show is out.
Steve not here?
John's out. No, he wanted to be in the show. He was texting me earlier, but I can't get a hold of him. I tweeted, you know, he hasn't tweeted back or anything. Anyway, so our last
time. Probably drunk. I'm just kidding.
Probably not. He's probably out in town.
Probably, yeah. Or asleep.
Yeah.
Class tomorrow.
He's probably high on life.
It's a good thing to be high on, Paul. It's a good thing to be high on.
And not gadgets. All right, so the last topic is just a little bit of a topic on have forums met their end? And before anyone says anything, obviously there are still lots of forums. Obviously they're still around. But my question is, are forums slowly dying now? I mean, were they a thing of the early 2000s that kind of had petered out now? Or am I totally wrong reading this? What do you guys think? What are your initial impressions when I say, you know, have forums finally met their end? And not they're not gone, obviously, but have they met the end of what they're going to be or whatever?
Well, I think another question to ask along with that one is, when did forums really hit their peak, and were they ever really as big as other things? Like, before there was MySpace and Facebook, forums were a big thing that people identified themselves with and talked on. And now, like, forums are really only popular for real specific stuff. Like, I know Rev Forums is the only forum I ever talk on, and that's for BMW E30 owners, like, specific model of a car. And people are crazy about that forum. And people get information, like, on how to do all this different stuff on their car and, like, what people think of their car and pictures and talking about events and socials in the area and stuff. So, I don't know.
Well, my thoughts on that was that, yeah, there's still forums like that, obviously. But after a couple shows ago, I talked about GDGT.com, which is a gadget-based social network. And basically, It's like a forum, kind of, for everything you've got gadget-wise. So I don't have to go to the Hewlett-Packard printer forum. I can just go to this page, the Hewlett-Packard printer, in the website, and then view a few comments about it or whatever and start a discussion there. So the format of forums has not died, obviously.
Right, yeah.
But I think that as far as people going to niche forums, I mean, I used to be big on the new Cougar forums for my car. I just could care less now. I mean, you know, you learn the names of people on there, and it seems like it's a great place to be for a while, and then I'm just like, well, I really don't care about this so much.
Yeah.
I'd rather do it somewhere else. And so for, like, cars, you've got cardomain.com, which is more of a conglomerate site for cars, and you've got forums for whatever you want. There's cardomain forums, there's forums within groups you create there. And so, like, for instance, there was a Cougar group on there that, you know, we built up and built a pretty decent following of on that particular site. And that was something that was a slow, it was obviously, it's nothing near as deep as the new Cougar forums. I mean, if you printed off those forums, you'd have, like, the most comprehensive upgrades and, you know, repair manual of anything ever. And it's the same for every car forum and whatnot. You know, I'm sure on programming forums, there's enough code and everything that you could, you know, take over the world if you just memorized it all. But, you know, I don't know. I just think that interest in forums is waning, and, you know, while people might join up, very few people get onto them and stay on them and everything, versus something like GDGT.com, which is a social network first and then like a forum second. Mike, you asleep?
No, I was just listening to y'all. My opinion is sort of similar to yours. Forums have slowly, you know, or general forums have slowly died out, except for GDGT. But the way I think of it is, you know, there's forums out there, and yeah, it seems like they're dying, but, you know, Walmart is essentially like a social network, if you think of it that way, and then like the specialty stores are like the forums. So there's always going to be specialty stores, but, you know, Walmart's always going to be the biggest thing, you know. I don't think forums. What'd you say?
I was wondering where the heck you were going at first.
Oh yeah. Well, I don't think that's.
Not
I don't
a think truck. Forums.
great analogy, right?
I got it.
Walmart is a social network. I was like, huh?
I get exactly. It's like Facebook coming in and taking over slowly over time, yeah. Just like how Walmart's came in and there's not mom and pops anymore.
We'll just compare Walmart to MySpace then, because it's more trashy.
MySpace is the Kmart of the internet, if you know what I mean.
Walmart or maybe Target is the Facebook.
See, but the thing is, Facebook is the biggest, so we have to go with Walmart.
Yeah.
I mean, Target is the cleanest, no doubt.
I would use the bathroom there.
Exactly. That's exactly the point. Oh, you know what?
Steven's on, I think. I think he's going to get on.
Oh, really? Well,
I texted him. He said he was watching Wedding Crashers, so I told him to get on the show.
See, I want to call Target Twitter, but I can't because it's too big. Maybe we will call it because it's clean and a lot of people go there, but not a lot of people buy stuff.
I think we're off topic now.
Yeah, we're having a discussion on...
Anyways,
I think we can all agree that Best Buy is GDGT.com.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, I don't think forums will ever die. I think there will be forums like GDGT where it just, you know, takes, you know, a similar interest of forums and merges them all together. But then you're never going to have the, like, extremely specific stuff like you said. You know, you can have, like, a whole layout or whole, like, redesign of, you know, the Cougar.
Yeah.
And I remember I have a Mitsubishi Galant, and I used to go on Galant forums, you know, because I was interested. It was my first car. But, you know, I've moved on from that because I know I was never going to make modifications to that car because I realized it wasn't worth it.
Well, and part of the reason, I think, is that people identify less with forums. You know, I mean, on New Cougar, I knew everyone on there, you know, and everyone knew me. And I think that now, I mean, like on GDGT, I don't really care who people are. I mean, I recognize them because they post a lot. But it's not a social network. We have networks now.
I think forums, like, when I see forums, I don't like when I go to a forum and I try to, you know, like, I've tried to post on forums before, just asking questions.
Yeah.
I like them to Google them to just find answers to questions. But the thing is, if you ever get on like a, you know, forum where they're all like friends or whatever, it's like a cult.
It's a click.
That's
exactly what Rev.
You're the outsider, and they treat you. They treat you like an outsider.
I can speak, and this really does relate to the topic because that may be part of the reason that's adding to why forums are dying out. I can give a perfect example is Rev Limited, which is the BMW forum I was speaking of earlier. My brother used to be huge in that forum. He used to be one of the main guys in there, and everybody knew him, and everybody posted all the time, and he talked to people, would ask him for advice, and he's one of the most knowledgeable people I know, him and his couple friends on E30s. And now the site got the guy who used to own the site sold it or traded it to somebody or something. It was a real younger guy. This guy's like 18, 19 now. And he's got a poor attitude, and he's a little punk. And none of the older guys, the original guys, liked him at all. And so slowly people stopped using it. Nate never gets on it hardly anymore. And And so now it's this group of younger guys that live in like Southern California or whatever, and they're close friends. That may be a wrong location, but I think that's right. And I'm not 100%. Don't quote me on that.
That makes a lot of sense.
But yeah, it's caused the website to lose a lot of membership.
And that's, yeah, that sounds basically right. I mean, New Cougar, they were a great community, but they were very much a clique. You know, it was, I mean, they were good guys. They were good guys, but joining as someone new, I'm sure would be pretty daunting. You know, it's kind of like, let's just say it was me. I transfer schools. Let's just say I came here, and all of a sudden, I'm trying to make friends with people that have been friends for 6 years, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be kind of like if we just pulled some random guy in to hang out with you, me, Will, Steve, and Mike, and John.
They'd be lost. Like
they wouldn't get, get any jokes all night long.
they would think we were really dumb. They would think Steven was gay. They would think... I just own Steven for people listening to this podcast. If you met our
friend, oh my gosh.
Oh, God. It's Mike's little brother. He can vouch. It's not hanging out with Steven unless something
is like, I don't know if you guys ever been, you know, like bashed by like the owner or like admin of the forums, you know, if you ever post a question that's been reposted,
exactly,
like
yeah.
You get jumped on. They're like, that's been reposted. And who the hell cares? Like, seriously, you know, it just makes the person, you know, not want to go back if they're just going to get bashed every time they try to ask a question.
Yeah, that's something to be asked. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me why. Now, look, if you use those for a long time and someone posts something about an intake for their car, obviously, I mean, it's a little, you know, it should really be it should occur to you that something's wrong when you get upset at someone asking a question. If you're the guy who posts...
They're just not friendly.
If you're the
then.
Guy who posts a link to the search button, you know, you should have done it yourself and helped them out. Because the truth is that, you know, you...
I mean, if you're on those forums and you're posting stuff like that, you have no life anyway. Might as well give them the answer.
If you care a whole bunch, someone asks a question, just, you know, stop. Anyway, I guess that's pretty good. I enjoyed this show, certainly. Is anything else you guys want to add about Forums Have Died? I think we've given forums more love than they deserve.
Yeah, nobody likes forums anyway.
Exactly. They're
case in point.
They're great data banks, but that's it. I don't go to the library to hang out. I go to the library to find information.
Yeah.
Forums are the same way.
So what you're saying is that forums... Of the libraries of the internet.
What I'm saying is I used to work at a forum.
You know, I like Yahoo Answers better than all the other forums. Oh, every time I need a question, Yahoo Answers. Like, I hate Yahoo, but Yahoo Answers is so good.
I hate Yahoo Answers. Every time I get on there, there's some ignorant person mouthing off to somebody else and saying stuff.
As long as I get my answer.
All right, fine. Yahoo Answers is good when you find the answers. But 95% of the time, Yahoo Answers is just
first
the dumbest questions you could ever see. Let me go there right now to pull up some. Or you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to type in terrible Yahoo Answers because I guarantee you there's something on the internet that is going to link us to this. So it's waiting.
What have I brought upon myself? You didn't link that, Paul.
It's not a good link. Hold on a second. Terrible Yahoo Answers. Yeah, I really don't. It's hard for me to understand why Yahoo is still around. Terrible Threes question.
I don't either. You just never hear anything about Yahoo anymore. Aren't they owned by someone else?
No, they're not. They're still Yahoo, certainly.
Oh, that's weird. I remember people tried to buy them out, like Google or something. Someone tried to buy them out, and they wouldn't sell or something.
Okay, what do we have here? Oh, come on.
Paul, have you, have you discussed the, contract of the iPhone running up and being available to Verizon users on the show?
Yeah, actually. Well, we didn't really discuss that particular thing. We discussed, what's it called? We discussed,
exploding iPhones.
Yeah, that iPhone is going to be on Verizon sometime next year.
Have you discussed the Alltel-Verizon merger?
Yeah, we have.
drafting. I need to go back and listen to all the episodes.
Woohoo! I won.
Now that we're almost done, we can probably cut this part off because you don't want to have me on the show and not having heard all the podcasts.
All right. So.
Alltel doesn't even exist anymore.
I know it's frustrating because I'm still Alltel and they don't exist.
Do exist. Kind of. All right. Alright, I just posted a link to your stuff. Intermittently. I just posted a link to Funny Yahoo Answers. We'll just read a few of these and then we'll sign off. So, here's one from today. Why are there school? Here's a question. Who out there can tell the difference between the real and fake Jesus Christ who will soon appear? Will they look the same, talk the same, do the same things, etc.?
Real and fake?
Yeah, I guess that's the Antichrist is coming soon.
The Antichrist and Jesus Christ are not going to be there at the same time. The Antichrist is oh, God.
This is fantastic. You go down to April 27. These are all, like, nothing's capitalized right. Okay, I'm a Christian. I plan on writing a book. You know, the seven churches in the book of Revelation. Well, those are going to be my characters. I'm going to make them have to work through problems that are hinted at in the Bible. Just read the Revelation. The letters to the churches have info I can use for their powers and problems. Suggestions will be welcome. How will you ever become a good writer if you need people to tell you how to write your stories?
That one's funny.
Oh, God.
I am 13 going on 14. I really want to wear and use diapers. I don't know what to do.
That's got to be fake.
No, see, the thing about Yahoo Answers is it's God, I can't even read some of the ones that are on here.
Oh my God, they're funny.
Alright, we'll wrap
up. I want to wear and use diapers. What should I do?
Yahoo Answers is just it's a very convenient place for people that still use Yahoo to post questions they have, you know.
And dude, so, I only use it for the email.
I see Yahoo emails. Answers 99% of the time, I see links from Dig or somewhere showing a retardedly funny Yahoo Answers question. Once in a while, I get a helpful one. But
it's so funny because people will ask questions they will never even mention in person.
Oh, yeah.
It's just hilarious.
Should I do this with the Dingle Honky? Anyway, all right. Well, let's wrap the show up. If you listen
oh my
to
God,
show,
that's another. You probably have to edit this one out, but.
Derp. All right, so that
could
was
probably
a
the show.
Podcast. Longer than I intended, but hey, we brought in Lee. You know, next week, episode 13, lucky number 13, I suppose.
Zune HD doesn't come out to the Tuesday. We might want to postpone it.
I don't
get why they're waiting until Tuesday. Should you just do it this weekend?
Tuesday is the release day. Everything gets released Tuesday.
Also,
I don't want to do it that day because, I mean, as good as it is, you know, knowing me, I'll probably wait a day to get it, you know.
Oh, really?
When does Zune come out?
September 15th.
Oh, I probably won't get it to my birthday because I'm probably going to ask for it for my birthday.
Yeah, see, I'm going to wait. I might have to wait just a little bit. Depending on my financial situation, I might just have to wait like a day, you know.
I'm just going to buy it the first day it comes out so I can wave it in your face.
Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to be like, it's going to come out. I'm going to read some reviews that say it's incredible. I'm going to be like, all right, well, I'll go get it tomorrow. I'm going to see you in 2 hours. You're going to be like, Paul, look at this. Oh, look at this. We're going to drive to Best Buy.
We're going to do it. We're driving to Best Buy. It's going to be sold out.
I know. I have to kill someone. All right. So this is Paul signing off for an excellent ContraCast, episode number 12. Please listen to the backlog. Please read my blog. Please click the ads. They make us money for the Zune HD.
They make you money?
They do make me money.
I made him $5 in one day.
They made me $5 to clean the ads. Lee, if you click the ads on my blog, I will make money.
Make money how?
Google AdSense. It's fantastic, kind of. It doesn't make you a lot. It doesn't make me any money unless people click the ads. And then if you click the ads, I could get a lot or a little. But like the other day, some random person clicked a few ads. That was fantastic. I got like $3. Mike clicked a few ads. I got $5. I'm up to $9.04 on there.
What are you using that? Is that going towards your Zune?
Yeah, maybe. When I hit 100, they'll mail me a check. So my goal is 100 in a month.
That's baller.
It is, kind of. Kind of. All right. I'm going to go ahead and end the call, and I will talk to you guys later. ContraCast out.